Hello everybody. This is the recording of Lucy's message for Sunday the 25th of September. Well, it's here, the first Sunday of autumn. What stood out for you this summer? Certainly the heat and the endless fight of the firefighters working to prevent even more hectares from going up in smoke. Did you miss something? Those of you who have an ornamental garden, a vegetable garden, a lawn, a swimming pool. We missed water, rain. We have seen rivers where there were only water holes left and where the fish had to be taken out and moved elsewhere to avoid their inevitable death. For individuals, happy were those who have a well, deep enough and who have not run out of water. Water. So obvious to us. We turn on the tap. However, some villages in France have had to distribute bottled water this year. In other countries, you have to go far to fetch water. While waiting for the rain, I started thinking about the many biblical texts that talk about water, this essential element for living. I simply want to open this meditation with this enigmatic sentence of Jesus. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Speaking of summer, the heat wave, you have surely heard that the elderly must be encouraged to drink. They don't feel the need to drink, and they risk becoming dehydrated, even to the point of death. Thirst is useful. And of course you also know the expression that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I'm not a horse specialist, but I am a sheep specialist. And I can assure you that when the animal doesn't want to drink, it won't drink. Feeling thirsty is essential, recognizing the need to hydrate. But being thirsty and sitting still is useless. We still have to come to Jesus. He who believes in me, that is the necessary element. Faith, believing that Jesus can quench our thirst. I just want to remind you of another verse in Jesus' dialogue with the Samaritan woman. Jesus has just asked this woman to give him water from the well. He has no bucket to draw water himself. The woman is surprised by his request. Because he is Jewish and she is a Samaritan, and relations were not good between these two communities. We read in John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." At that time, this woman has not yet understood who Jesus is. It will take her a few more minutes to believe in this man, to discover that Jesus is the Messiah, to believe in God and thirst for him, to recognize that we need him. The water that Jesus gives is not a liquid without odour or colour, but it is what responds to our existential thirst, the thirst of our inner being. Thirst for meaning. What am I doing on this earth? Thirst for love, because who can live without being loved? Thirst for direction, because we only have one life and being led by chance can lead us to many problems. Thirst for something or someone greater than oneself. As much as we claim to be autonomous, to decide for ourselves, we realise, if we want to be honest, that at times it is reassuring to be able to count on someone bigger, stronger, more competent, more experienced, etc. In his dialogue with the Samaritan woman about the water from the well, we read John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A source, a spring. Today I would like to tell you about the sources of a young woman named Axa. You hear Axa, A-X-A, and you think, ah, assurance company. Axa, this young woman, she was very confident, and she also wanted to secure her future. There's not much in the Bible about her, but the little that is written there gives food for thought. Axa can be a model for us. We find her name in the 15th chapter of the book of Joshua, the first chapter of the book of Judges, and his genealogy in the first book of Chronicles. In the book of Joshua, we discover the continuation of the Exodus. The Hebrews left Egypt. Moses was their guide. They cross the desert, and 40 years later they finally arrive at the border of the Promised Land. It is Joshua, the successor of Moses, who will lead the Hebrews in the conquest of the Promised Land. Let's first read in Joshua chapter 15, verses 13 to 19. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the sons of Anak. From there he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Axa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it, so Caleb gave his daughter Axa to him in marriage. One day when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, What can I do for you? She replied, Do me a special favour. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. Axa is Caleb's daughter. Caleb is this young man who had gone like Joshua and 10 other men to spy on the Promised Land, to see what their future looked like, how to go about entering it. Caleb and Joshua returned from this exploratory expedition, contradicting their 10 friends. The 10 friends were afraid of the future, of the giants, Anakites, who dwelt in this Promised Land. Joshua and Caleb said, No, you don't have to be afraid. Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 to 9. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Then follows a conversation between Moses and the Lord, which ends with this sentence in verse 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Caleb is animated by another spirit. There is a spirit of the world, the spirit of defeat, of the least effort to another spirit. This is Caleb, the father of our young woman, our model, Axa. This father, Caleb, must have inspired his daughter with great confidence. He was a brave man who was not afraid of adversity, problems, challenges, sighs. Moreover, we have another testimony on this subject for Caleb. In Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 8. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." Then we read in verses 10 to 12. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Wow, I wish I had a dad like Caleb. Courageous, vigorous, not shrinking from a challenge, a fighter, a winner. But he still feels his age, and he seeks help. Help of quality, because he promises as a reward the hand of his daughter Aksa to the one who will continue this good fight and take another city, Kiriath Sefer. Othniel launches into it. Othniel is Caleb's nephew, his brother's son. And I like to stop at people's names. Caleb. His parents didn't give him a very glorious name. If you hear Caleb, you might recognise the word Klebs. What does it mean? Well, in French argot, slang, it means dog. Who would call his son dog? Othniel, his little nephew, has a much more glorious name. Othniel means lion of God, very powerful man, like a god. This lion, this Othniel, sets out to conquer Kiriath Sefer and takes the city. He receives, as promised, as a reward, the hand of Caleb's daughter. And we read about this young woman in Joshua chapter 15, verse 18. "One day when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, 'What can I do for you?' Aksa is a young woman who thinks, who sees further. This field, okay, it's a very good thing, but it still has to be able to produce. For this, something is missing. And she will ask her father herself about this thing. She sees her father and she jumps off her donkey. A sign of respect, submission. Her father said to her, 'What do you want me to do? What do you want?'" This is a question that we also find in the New Testament from the mouth of Jesus. On several occasions he asked people, "What do you want me to do?" Bartimaeus answered, "Let me see." Two blind people crying answered, "Have mercy on us." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked the blind what they want from him. Pretty obvious, though, but he asked them, as if to say, "Go ahead, I'm listening to you. I welcome you favourably, like Caleb, the father who welcomes his daughter, with kindness." He could have said to himself, "She's married, she has a field, she has everything she needs. Her husband only has to take care of her." No, Caleb, he's a bit like our heavenly father. He welcomes us with benevolence, not saying, "Listen, I have already given you so much. Manage a bit yourself." Aksa said to Caleb in Joshua chapter 15, verse 19, "Do me a special favour. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. She asks, and she's not ashamed to ask again. It's a bit like saying, "Since you've already given, I know how generous and benevolent you are, so I dare to ask you for more." She asks out of gratitude. Many Christians don't ask for any more. The Lord has already given me so much. Yes, certainly, but it's not the end of the riches for you. The girl had her land, her home, she was sheltered, she had her salvation, but now she is going to ask for more. How realistic. Father, you gave me lands in the south. They are arid. Heavenly Father, you gave me salvation, but I am still in this world, as in a dry land. Life is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. It is an arid land. An Anaxar will ask for springs. Jesus promised everyone who believed in him that rivers of living water would flow from his bosom. Are you beginning to see the similarities between Anaxar and ourselves? We live in an arid land, but our Father has springs, resources. Yet like Anaxar, you're going to have to ask. The sources of living water for us are there, but you still have to ask. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. Anaxar, what is she asking for? According to the different translations of the Bible, you will read, grant me a favour. A more literal translation would be, grant me a blessing. What else could we ask of our Heavenly Father other than blessings? Anaxar asked for springs, the indispensable resources needed to bear fruit where she was. She had confidence to ask. She secured her future. Anaxar, assurance. In the future, when you see an Anaxar sign, think of this young woman, her assurance to ask from her Father, and also ask your Heavenly Father for springs, resources. Before us is this freedom to ask God our Father. He gave us so much, our field, life, salvation. Now it's up to us to realise that we must with confidence ask for more. The one who is grateful for what he has received, who is happy with the kindness of the one who gives, is it not also the one who has confidence, who will dare to ask for more? What to ask God for? Everything, anything, no matter what. Anaxar asked for springs, resources. What an example for us. She did not ask for products, a harvest. One could translate as money, prosperity. No, she asked for what is needed, what she needed to produce prosperity. How much time do we spend asking for crops rather than asking for what is needed to produce crops? In the churches, it happens that we ask, a very Canaan, patois, for conversions, for growth. What have we asked instead? Equip us. Give us what it takes to work with you. People with gifts, we have them. Like in the lands of Anaxar, there is in the basement of his piece of land received the necessary things. Also in the church, what we need is something to bring this capital to fruition. Anaxar knew how to ask for springs, resources. It's up to us to do the same. The promised land is promised. Winning it is our job. Salvation is received by grace. Spreading salvation will be partly by our works. Work, it is commanded. To do the work is to act and depend. It is to ask for springs, for resources. Our limits, our land is arid. It limits our production. Christian life, productive life or not. If you don't have what is needed to water what you have. Anaxar asked her father to expand, to push her limits. Often we ask for the blessing, like a harvest falling from the sky. While we can also request the resources necessary for the normal production of our harvest. A bit like in this development strategy. Give a man a fish, he will eat today. Equip him with what he needs to go fishing, he will eat all his life. Ask for springs, resources. When was the last time you asked? And what did you ask for? For my part, I know that often we ask for a lot of things. Ready-made solutions, provisions, interventions. But Anaxar teaches us to also ask for sources, springs. Maybe she's not wrong. After reflection, she asked, God has already given to me, but what do I need now to make what I have received bear fruit? A bit like in the parable of the talents, how to make them grow instead of burying them while waiting for the last day. The woman, Anaxar, who owns her field, is she happy just to look at it? or does she want to see it bear fruit? Wheat, what is needed to make bread. What we need to live. In this case, you have to ask. You need springs, resources. God, like Caleb, is a willing father. And God the Father, like Caleb, says to us, what do you want? That we can become aware that it is sources that we need. Ask for the sources. Or maybe we have already received these sources. A long time ago, long enough seems so long to us, almost like going back to the days of Isaac. He too had springs, wells, which had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, and which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. We read in Genesis chapter 26, verse 18, dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. He unblocked those wells. If you have had springs, if you have known the rivers of living water that flow, and this is no longer the case today, it is time for you to unclog these wells received once and for all. If you have received life in Christ, salvation, but it is an arid land, ask for the springs. Whatever may be the case, whether you have clogged wells or you have not yet received springs, let us together ask for a blessing from our Heavenly Father, a blessing asked with assurance, AXA, because we have already received. We know that God is rich, and he says to us, what do you want me to do for you? John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Let's pray.